Please do be seated. Please open up a Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In the Black Church Bibles, that is on page 976. A word of introduction before I pray and read from God's word. Now, some of you here are sitting with jewels on your fingers. You know who you are. Usually women. I've just got a very simple band on my fourth finger here. Now, some of you ladies, you have got rings with great big stones on them. They say, don't they, that diamonds are a girl's best friend. Now, children, I'd like you to have a look along your row. And if you're a lady with a rock on a hand, make it obvious for a child. Now, if you're not quite sure what you're looking for, children, on the front of your learning sheet, you'll see how that ring works. There is the jewel. None of them quite this big, but use your imagination. The jewel, it is tightly held, isn't it? By little clasps. They're a bit like tiny little hands that hold onto the jewel. They're actually so small, they are almost invisible. Now, question, why might we talk about jewels and rings? Now, here is why. A jewel, like a diamond, it is an object of great beauty and of great value. It is precious. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is of the greatest value and the greatest beauty. He is like a precious jewel. He is like a diamond of infinite worth. And the Christian's faith in Jesus, it is like those little clasps that hold onto the jewel. Now, no one looks at a ring and spends all of their time admiring the clasps. You look at the ring and then you look at the jewel, the diamond. And that's what we're going to do today. We are going to look at the precious jewel who is Christ. Now, remember, we're spending a few weeks looking at five essentials of true Christianity. Without those essentials, there is no Christianity and there are no Christians. Last week, the Bible. Today, Christ. And about 500 years ago or so, it was Martin Luther who said this: faith clasps Christ as a ring clasps its jewel. Now, in a couple of weeks, God willing, we're going to think about the clasp. What is faith? How is it that we hold on to and take hold of Christ? But first, and far more important, we are going to look at the jewel. Now, why will that do us good? If we belong to Christ today, that is, if we're a Christian, man or woman, boy or girl, it is so good to look at Christ, to whom we belong. That assures us, here is my Saviour. Here is the one who loves me, who gave himself for me. It's a challenge too, isn't it? Wherever I go as one who belongs to him, the one who is of the greatest value. If you're someone just looking into the Christian faith, you know you don't yet belong to Christ. Well, Jesus has what you desperately need. Perhaps you're beginning to realize why your Christian friends find the Lord Jesus so wonderful. You're beginning to learn Christ bit by bit. Well, I pray that this will do you good as you see the diamond, the treasure, which is Christ. So I'm going to pray and then read from God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is your rule and authority, and it is also your means of our salvation, for in it you lead us to Christ. And we pray for ourselves that by your Holy Spirit you would show us Christ. And we ask that for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. So, I'm going to read the first 14 verses of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Let's listen to the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Well, thanks be to God for his word to us today. Heading 1. Christ has joined the Christian to himself. What we are talking about here, and here is the foundation of all of our hope as Christian people, it is that you are joined in union with Christ. The key phrase the New Testament uses to describe our union with Jesus, just two little words that we could miss: in Christ. So children, down on your learning sheets, do you see that? In Christ. We read Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So here is the point. God joins to Christ those people whom he intends to save. All Christ's blessings are given to those in union with him. So the only place to receive God's blessings, the only way, the only means to receive God's blessings, it's by being in union with Christ, in him. Now we read in verse 3, don't we, that God purposed this union in eternity past. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose those men and women and boys and girls who would be joined to his Son. Now the Bible in different places uses a number of illustrations to help us wrap our heads around this strange idea that Christian people are joined invisibly but truly to the Son of God. And the best, or perhaps the highest picture in Scripture is that of human marriage. So a biblical marriage takes one man and one woman and unites them such that they become one flesh. You know, 1 + 1 = 1. There is a gluing together and there is an exchange. So when Elizabeth and I married, well, what's mine became hers, and what is Elizabeth's becomes mine. And the Bible says of the Lord Jesus that he is the bridegroom. He is the bridegroom who joins himself to his bride, the church, such that what is ours become his, and what is his becomes ours. Now, how good it is to be married to someone who is extremely rich. Now, by the way, some surveys say that over 25% people would marry someone purely for their money. I don't know if that's a shock or not. But being joined to Christ, being in union with him, well, we are joined to someone who is very, very rich. And we are going to look at some of those riches, some of those glories in a few moments. But in summary, if you're a Christian, you can say this. This is true. This is a reality. He takes your sin. He has taken your sin and the judgment which you deserve for your sin. And he gives to you every blessing. So, therefore, consider the most important question in the whole wide world. The most important question in the world. Well, we're nearly in exam season. You know, SATs, GCSEs, A-levels, etc. They will not ask you ever the most important question. Here is the most important question. Are you joined to Christ? Are you joined to Christ? From the vantage point of eternity, you know, either in the presence of Christ or experiencing the reality of hell, quite frankly, you know, physics or Latin or whatever it is will seem kind of beyond irrelevant. You know, are you joined to Christ? Just inwardly, in your heart and mind, just think. You know, use as many or as few words as you need to answer that. Are you joined to Christ? It might be as simple as yes, no, don't know. For someone who's on the outside of Christian things, and we, every Sunday we welcome, you know, guests and inquirers. I wonder if you can see here what the Bible says. You're blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. So as long as Christ remains outside of you and you are separated from him, then all that Christ has suffered and all that Christ has done remains useless and of no value for you. And not all people will embrace this union which is offered through the gospel. So maybe you still have questions about Jesus. Make it your business this Easter to ask those questions. While at the same time, no, you'll never tie up all of your loose ends. Perhaps you know that even now, you know you need to do something. Perhaps you find the idea of union with Christ, you find it an attractive idea, but also a little bit weird. Let me encourage you, actually, let me encourage all of us with some, I guess, some Bible facts, realities about this union with Christ. It's a union that is worked by the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit union. You can see that in verse 3, actually. Every spiritual blessing in the New Testament, spiritual means of or by the Holy Spirit. So you could pray, please join me to Jesus. And give me that spirit who joins me to your son. Union with Christ is taken hold of by faith. It is faith union. It is a taking God at his word. So we can trust him. You can trust him. When he talks about Jesus in the pages of Scripture, when he talks about you and what you are like, when he talks about how to get right with him, we can trust him. We can take him at his word. That is the heart of a faith that saves. This union with Christ is a mystery. That's what Paul will actually say in Ephesians chapter 5. That is, this union, this joinedness between Christ and the church, Christ and the Christian, we would never know about it unless it were revealed to us in the Bible. There is a dimension to it that is mind-boggling, yet glorious. And this union with Christ, it is real. We cannot see it with our eyes. There are actually many realities in this world we cannot see with our eyes. Yet this union with Christ, it is real. As real as if there were a literal umbilical cord stretching from Christ in heaven to the believer on earth. And this union, it is unbreakable. It's an amazing thought that the God of the universe should want to give his son to us. At the very heart of the Christian faith, it is about God's gift of Jesus to us. It's a gift of love, isn't it? A bridegroom is given. And to a bride who is wayward and thoroughly messed up. And that's actually the story of the whole Bible, from the very beginning to the very end, that God comes to people like us and says, I will be your God and you will be my people. I am yours and you are mine. That's the promise of the covenant. It's the promise of union. It's the promise of a mutual possession of each other. Some of us, when we think about the Christian faith, we do not think of it like that. Much nearer the top of our minds or hearts, we think of following Christ as being about rules or duties. Or perhaps we think about it's about me getting what I want so that I can feel better about myself. That's not got things the right way round, has it? The gospel tells us that God gives himself, he draws people into union with him. And then in union with Christ, we then walk through life and eternity. So, to the Christian man or woman, boy or girl, you live every moment in union with Christ. Your joys or your sorrows, you go through them all in union with Christ. We wake up in the morning, joined to Jesus. We sin in union with Jesus, you know, baffling and treacherous as that is. And at the end of our days, we will fall asleep in Christ. Joined to Jesus, you know, God the Father, he will never view you or me as being apart from his beloved Son, Jesus. You have Jesus. Or perhaps more accurately, Jesus has you in Christ. Sometimes Christian people, we have Christian wobbles, don't we? We wonder, is Jesus strong enough and real enough to see me through? Sometimes we wonder, is my faith in Jesus strong enough and real enough to see me through? It's very common and it's very distressing. So let's look more closely at the jewel. Let's look at the treasure. Who is Jesus? Let's see what that treasure contains to all of those who are in him. And as we do that, it will strengthen our weak knees. So our second heading, Christ possesses all that the Christian needs. Ephesians chapter 1 is an outpouring of praise. In the original language, it's mainly one sentence. Paul just starts and he cannot stop. It's an outpouring of praise for all we have in Christ, and we can barely touch on it today. So for what do Christian people bless the Lord? And if you're on the outside of the faith looking in, what is it about Jesus that means that today you should come to Jesus and admit your sins and confess your trust in him and receive something? Well, let's go through some of the treasures that Jesus grants us. Verse 4, in Christ, the Christian is chosen for holiness. Did you see that? Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. Do you know your unholiness? You know how by nature you are not like Jesus. I often feel the weight of my sin and it's very hard to shake off sometimes. And yet, be encouraged. In Christ, he is committed to sanctifying us, making us more holy. And one day that work will be complete. Joined to Jesus, little by little, we are being made more like him. And we are joined to a holy Saviour. This is so glorious, isn't it? When we feel our own unholiness, consider him. Consider his obedient life. You know, where Adam failed in the garden, where Israel failed in the desert and in the land, you and I fail. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the faithful one. He loved God, he loved man, and he's committed to us, and he will form himself in us. Verse 5, let's go on. In Christ, the Christian is predestined for adoption. We feel our unworthiness. You're unworthy to be in the presence of God, let alone to be in the family of God. Maybe some of us feel that so acutely. I know some of us do. Yet he chose us not because of good in us, before ever we were. The Lord chose to set his adopting love on us. So here is the Son. Imagine here is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he joins us to him. And that's how we become sons of God. All of us, actually, men and women, we are sons of God in biblical terms. Just like all Christians, men or women, are members of the bride of Christ. We are loved as sons, joined to the Son. Verse 7, let's go on. In Christ, the Christian is redeemed and forgiven through the blood of Christ. We can see that, can't we? Verse 7, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. What is the worst thing about sin? Sin leaves us guilty. It's not just that it leaves us broken. It does do that. Not just that it leaves us in need of change. Sin does not just mess up our lives. It leaves us guilty before a holy God. Yet in Christ, washed clean by his blood. It's wonderful, isn't it? Trespasses washed away. So the Lord Jesus, as he suffered and bled and died on the first Good Friday, he knew and he loved those sinners for whom he was dying. He gave himself for them, for you, to wash clean all of those who had ever come to him, that he might give to us his righteousness. Verse 11, in Christ, the Christian has a secure inheritance. Many of us worry. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about the next decade. Worry about our eternities. Will I get to glory? Well, the Lord says there is an inheritance for us. There is an inheritance that we have obtained, or rather we have been given it because we are in Christ. It's the glories of Jesus' new creation. And they are ours with him. And the wonderful thing is that getting there, it does not depend on us. It depends on the power of the God who does whatever he wants. So the Lord Jesus, he is risen from the grave, never again to die. And wherever Jesus goes, we go too. Do you remember that a few weeks back? Do you remember Thomas, the tank engine? Remember his coaches, Annie and Clarabel? Wherever Thomas goes, Annie and Clarabel go too. Do you remember that? Sticks with me. I like that illustration. Wherever Christ goes, Christian, you go with him too. Through death to glory and on to the new creation. Glory is our destiny. Last treasure in this passage, verse 13. In Christ we have been given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of that inheritance. It's the idea here of a down payment or a first installment or a deposit. So the Lord Jesus, who is ascended, he pours out his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, who then resides in us. And he marks us. It's a little bit like he writes on us, as if you write on a bit of child's clothing with a name, you know, possession of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This one is mine. And that's a down payment. It guarantees, not just now, it guarantees our eternity. And all of this, because of him, in him. All praise to the glorious grace of the Lord Jesus. He's our prophet, isn't he, who reveals to us the will of God. He's our priest who offered himself and who now prays for us. He's our king who rules over all things and who governs us and protects and cares for us. So do you see why we must be joined to Christ? And do you see why it's enough to be joined to Christ? If you have Christ, you really do have enough. He is a sufficient saviour. You can't top him up. There's nothing else that we can do or believe or think or read or achieve to boost our blessings. Now, obviously, when you're loved like this, it then commands us to love him in turn with all we are and have. But nothing we do can add to those blessings that Jesus possesses. We cannot buff up the diamond, which is Jesus, through anything we are or do. Sometimes, it's a real battle though, to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus, to see his glories. Sometimes something happens with our eyes, doesn't it? We cannot see him. Many Christian people, me included at times, go through seasons of really quite dark despair. We ask, am I really a Christian? Have I lost Christ? Now that's one reason why we make use of the means of grace. That is, the Spirit's normal tools through which God likes to work. The Bible, prayer, gathered worship, the Lord's Supper. They are all tools that in different ways God gives to weak people like us to hold out Christ, to help us see him more clearly. So keep in the means of grace, even when it feels like your own light is burning pretty dim. And regardless of how we struggle, and often our grip on Christ is really tenuous. You think of the ring, you know, those little clasps, very weak. But the jewel actually reaches out his arms and he grabs hold of us. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's all about him, our beautiful and sufficient Saviour. The Father, he would no more drive us away than he would drive away his Son, to whom the Christian is joined. If the band would come and get ready, let's bow our heads and take a minute for silent prayer. There might be something particularly you want to praise God for or confess or talk to him about. Mainly, I would suggest take a moment for silent praise and adoration.